Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome to E-Ticket to Broadway, where Broadway meets Main Street. Here's your host, my pal, David Alpert.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of E-Ticket to Broadway. I'm thrilled you're here to listen to the only podcast where your favorite Broadway stars choose which land in the Magic Kingdom is their favorite. I'm guessing that you, yes, you, listening, are a big fan of both Broadway and the Disney parks. So why not show off that passion by visiting the official E-Ticket to Broadway shop and choosing a shirt, mug, hat, or print to bring the magic home? Are you Team Land or Team World? Be sure to grab your merch before your next trip to the parks. I'm so grateful for the support from our incredible Patreon supporters. If you'd like to get more involved with the podcast and support Gilana's Fund, which promotes and uplifts organizations across the country promoting equality, justice, and acceptance, visit www.eticketpodcast.com to join the E-Ticket to Broadway Patreon. To see photos of our guests at the parks, play games, and answer trivia, be sure to follow us on Instagram. And while you're on your phone, please head to Apple Podcasts to leave a positive review for E-Ticket. The world always needs more Disney magic, and this is a way to help let others know about us. The guest on this episode is such a true fan of the parks. You may have seen him on Broadway in Hamilton, Motown the Musical, or Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of the Temptations, or at Walt Disney World enjoying a turkey leg. Here he is, Nick Walker. Nick, thank you for joining me on E-Ticket to Broadway. I saw on your Instagram a post with text that read, quote, "If I ask you if you'd rather start in Mexico or Canada and you don't know what I'm talking about, then I have failed you as a friend." So I think we're going to get along, but would you care to elaborate on that post?
Oh, absolutely. I have no problem elaborating on that post. If you are my friend and I bring you with me to Epcot, to the World Showcase Pavilion, and I ask you where we want to start and you don't know what answer in my opinion is correct, then I have failed you as a friend. And there's nothing more to say than that. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, where, what else is there?
I think that applies even if you're not at Epcot. I think if you're just like walking down 45th Street, you're like, what do you think? Canada
or Mexico?
They should know.
They should know. You should have an answer prepared.
You're the perfect guest. So, Nick, have you always loved going to Walt Disney World, even as a kid?
Yes. So you have to understand, I grew up, so I'm from Boston, and I grew up loving movies. just loving, I mean, I love movies. I you know, and movies that, like, you know, to be like, some were too old for me. Like, I was obsessed with Jurassic Park. I still am. Jurassic Park is probably my favorite movie of all time. You know,
it's not Disney, so we can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it. It didn't happen. I didn't say that. But Disney was a massive part of that. And Disney was my babysitter. And Disney was, you know, I mean, like, all these films and especially the cartoons really spoke to me. And then you also had the movies, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Aladdin and all these things. And then, you know, when the one thing I do, like, distinctly remember, I remember we stayed at, it had to be the Grand Floridian. And I remember the smell, like the Florida smell in the morning when you step out on your balcony in Disney. And it's just like that like the air is like almost sweet and slightly tropical, and you can hear the rides in the background. There's literally, I remember that smell and that sound, and I've tried to replicate that smell and that sound every year of my life. It is absolutely my happy place. Those parks are my happy place.
Do you remember the first time you went, any rides that stuck out at you that you were like, that was the coolest thing ever?
I will tell you, I was afraid of rides up until my teens. And I'll tell you this because my first ride memory was Indiana Jones in DL and Disneyland. And I was that kid who got in the ride. You know, they gave the thumbs up. You know, you hear Sala talking on the radio, like, okay, everyone. And I was like, nope. And they had to stop the ride, and I got off.
Oh no.
Oh, I got off the, I was like, I'm actually not going to do this. I can't do that. No,
wow.
No way. And they let me off. And I stood and I waited with my stepdad, for them to finish. And then when they got back, they were just making fun of me. They're like, oh man, you missed it. There was this boulder and there were snakes. And I was like, yeah, I'm so happy that I wasn't a part of that. Now it's something, I mean, I can't leave without doing it. But at the age of, you know, well, I guess I was 8 or 9. I was like, I can't do that. No way. No way.
The only ride I've ever left was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Really? Now talk to me about that.
I don't mind when, like, for instance, if Haunted Mansion is scary, you just close your eyes and you're good to go.
Yes.
But this one, when there was like a rat tail that hit my legs and I was like, oh, we're breaking the fourth wall and I'm not okay with that.
Yes.
And they literally were like, where's the snake? And my mom and I were like, we're leaving.
Leaving now.
Just left.
I so understand that. And I will even say that, like, again, this shows how much of a, you know, how sensitive to scares I am. When I took my wife for the first time to Disneyland, I had in my mind that Haunted Mansion, I don't know why I had this, but like I hadn't, at that point I hadn't been, it had maybe been about 6 or 7 years. And this was like, you know, 12 years ago, but at that point it'd been a while. And in somewhere in my head, I had mixed up Haunted Mansion with maybe like extraterrestrial encounter. Like, I don't know what I thought Haunted Mansion was, but I was convinced this was about to be the scariest experience of her life, to the point where I was like hyping it up, like, yo, okay, I'm not comfortable on this ride. Like, are you? And then we went in and it was Haunted Mansion. And I was like, yep. Okay, cool. Now, and I remember now. I'm back. So
it's literally just a mansion that's haunted.
That's it. And not even that haunted. Like it's no. they're fun. Like they're, you know, grim grinning ghosts. Like it's,
yeah. Well, the second part of the ride, the first part can be a little scary.
Yes, it can. Yep. Absolutely. Agree. Oh yeah, man. But no, it's my heart. It's my heart. And it's, I'm so excited to talk to you about it, about all of it.
If you could go on any attraction back to back without having to exit the vehicle, which attraction would you choose?
Flights of Passage.
Okay.
I think it's Flights of Passage. I've never been more moved emotionally from an experience. And like, I'm not the biggest Avatar movie fan. I don't think many people who ride this ride are biggest Avatar. And that's not a knock against Avatar. All love to James Cameron and his film franchise. But you know, it's just breathtaking when you get on that ride and are experiencing that journey. I would do it all day. I would get right back on. The only other one I might go for, there's something about Slinky Dog Dash that I think is really wonderful and free, and those tracks are smooth. And I will say the overlay at Disneyland Paris, the Hyperspace Mountain, is quite fantastic. So that would be up there too.
Other international parks?
So it's just Paris. I've only done Disneyland, and Disney World and Paris. Shanghai and Tokyo are, I'm coming for you. I've never been more excited to get to two parks. Yeah.
But not Hong Kong. You're like, I'm good without Hong Kong.
No, exactly. Good. I'm good. No, but you know what it is? I have to see Disney Sea. Have to see Disney Sea. And that kind of holds a play just from the pictures. I'm like, this, I feel like this is just going to be the thing that might, you know, so I'm very excited. For me, it's all about Fantasy Springs, and they're opening that in a couple of years. And I am so excited to be there for that. So that's kind of like, that's why, you know, that park and that place take maybe the cake for me in terms of my dreams to get there. So yeah, for sure.
You know, you were also quoted online to say, quote, world before land, but land has better food. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure why you would personally attack me like that, because I am a land boy.
Yep.
But
yep.
I will say, Nick, you posted a GIF of Dopey.
Yes.
Which is my favorite. So I think that makes up for it. But you really are fiercely a world boy.
Let me tell you. I love land. And I think I want to be clear, land has, when I say better food, I mean eons better. I don't know if it's just California. I don't know what, but it is just fresher and cleaner, and it is so good. Club 33 in land is beautiful. Everything, you know, there's so many things that land has, and obviously, you know, it's the original park. So, I mean, there's that too. World, there's something about, I will say, so for Magic Kingdom specifically, the size of that castle, for me, that can't be beat necessarily. That is just, it is just so, you walk in, and between that, the Tree of Life, and the Epcot ball, Journey to the
Spaceship Earth.
Spaceship Earth, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now I'm about to age myself, because I was about to say MGM Studios, but they don't have the Water Tower anymore. But those landmarks that really just you see them and you're like, okay, here we are, we're back. And and also I think that World, I think there's something about the all-encompassing nature of World that I love. It takes me out of it. It takes me out of it when I'm, you know, when you can just go to the parking lot and there's the McDonald's next door. Do you mean like in, not that it's, again, it's like, please love McDonald's. It's a wonderful, wonderful chain. But for me, I like those burgers, but there is something about, going and just immersing yourself. I was so sad when they got rid of Magic Express. I hope that it's going to be this train that's taking you there now. I hope that it has some of that same magic, because that there was something, especially, you know, again, speaking bluntly, if you're going to charge what you charge to get into these parks, like the idea that you come in and as soon as you hit that airport, you are in. Right, that Disney magic starts at the gate and ends right when you get back to the gate. Like, there is something so lovely about that. So I do enjoy that. Also, I mean, Kidani Village and Jumbo House. Like, there's. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know,
you love it. I mean, I love how much you love Walt Disney World.
I love it. I cannot like so. And this is something I've said this before, but you know, because on other you know, whenever I'm talking about these wonderful parks, you know, life can be very hard. as we all know, and especially a life in the arts. And as much as I'm very thankful for this career that I've had, and you know, continue to have, knock on wood, you know, it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of disappointment, and a lot of like thick skin, and getting through it, and taking that deep breath, and picking yourself up again, and to have a place that is literally built for my joy, right? And built for everyone's joy, like built, you step in there, welcome home. That means something. That means something to step into these places and they welcome you home. It is really special. And my favorite thing are taking Disney non-believers and turning them into believers.
Yes.
I have now planned trips because before I took over for Burr, in my understudy days at Hamilton, me and Richard Blake over at Bronx Tale had this, like, it wasn't even like a side business because we didn't make any money off it. We just did it for fun. We just planned Disney vacations for Broadway parents, like literally. So I planned Shelley Williams. I planned Mandy. I planned Richards, and like a couple others that I'm forgetting, but like literally, and Shelley in particular was like, okay, I'm going to Disney. Like, what's the deal? Like, I know you love this place. What's the deal? And I was like, yo, give me your Disney Go username and password, and I will tell you, I will show you. Yeah. And I got, you know, we're talking, I mean, cause you go to Cali Grill, you go to Tiffin's, you go to all these amazing restaurants, and you understand that like it truly is this like all encompassing vacation destination that is also like, be a kid, like truly do not have any pretense when you come in these gates, like just drop. And I will also, and I promise I'll shut up after this. So many of my friends, you know, who know me, I think that the running joke is like, I'm like, I don't know how I got this unofficial title, but like I've somehow become like the consistent little brother of like so many, especially in our industry, especially in Broadway. Like, all my friends love to make fun of me, and I am like a curmudgeon, and that's like the game that we play. And especially in casts, like my Hamilton cast will tell you, I am absolutely that person. I come into work, I do my job, I make some like snarky comments, and I go home, and not like snarky mean comments. Like, I just love to banter and play and tease. All of that drops the minute I walk in. Like, if you have been with me at Disney World, then you have seen like my actual like cream filled center that I don't, you know what I mean? And that's like, it just makes me so happy. I'm literally staring at the Magic Candle Club postcard right now. Perfect. From all the candles I ordered. So yes. Yes.
But Nick, everything you're saying, I mean, like to everyone listening right now, I'm sure you're all nodding your head. I mean, like, this is where we all get it.
Yes.
I mean, even Walt's opening day speech to all come to this happy place. Welcome. I mean, that's, and, mm-hmm. you know, I recently watched a documentary that said our critics are our most optimistic people, which mm-hmm. really hits home for me because I do have issues with a lot of things, but I'm incredibly optimistic. I see how the world can be. And when I go to Disneyland, I think like this is how it could be.
Yes.
Very clean, you know, very orderly, full of magic and wonder, and everyone's treated equally. Yes. I love it.
And you have to, and this is what I always try to remember too, especially when I'm bringing new people, is like to not take that for granted, right? Just like you're saying, this is how the world could be. And to understand the work that goes into it, like I'm sorry, the cast members, I try to, they just need the biggest applause ever. Just to be able to come into work and have, and granted, you know, I understand that you're hiring people who have this level of positivity and who have, but like, it's work. I know it's work. We all know it's work. But there have been some cast member interactions that I've had that I will take with me the rest of my days. Just because it was just that little extra bit of something. And we all talk about it, you know, we all talk about that. But like, when you have that experience where it's like, oh my God, like, you went out of your way, you did not have to do this, and yet you did. Like, that means so much to people. Just the selflessness So I am just so thankful for the cast members that I've got to meet, and I can't wait to meet more. And you know, it's just, there's just so much good energy happening in those parks.
Okay, Nick, clearly you love Disney and the different Disney properties, which we're going to get in later, but I'm going to name an area of Disney and I want you to share your favorite character from that world.
Mm-hmm.
So the first world is Star Wars.
Why would you do this to me? This is like the heart. It's like, make me, it's like Sophie's Choice. Darth Vader. It has to be.
Yeah. Okay. Next Disney world, we're going to talk about classic Disney animation.
Okay.
Favorite character?
Again, Sophie's Choice, but Donald Duck.
Oh, I just love that we went from Darth Vader to Donald Duck.
I love the misunderstood ones. I really do. I have a real soft spot for them.
I would like to hear Donald Duck doing Darth Vader's dialogue.
Oh my God. Okay, let me see. I can't even.
I can't. You know, Donald, as you're all listening, Donald does make an appearance on this podcast. But Nick, let's hear it. Let's see what we can do.
Okay. How would you even attempt this?
Luke, I am your father.
It was like a little Iago.
It was
like a little bit.
Like Gilbert Gottfried was right there.
I love it. And I left. Think you're onto something.
I'm going to try.
I love that.
I'm going to use it in a show. It's going to be great. People will.
Yes, please. I loved it. That was great. Here's another Disney property, Marvel.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now we're getting into it because I'm a huge. So Marvel, we could talk about for days and days and days. It's got to be Iron Man. It's got to be Tony. It's got to be okay. Tony. Yeah.
Good. Good, good. How about Disney villains?
I'm going to say I have a soft spot for Dr. Facilier, Prince and the Frog. I Keith David's voice is ridiculous, and I'm first of all, New Orleans. If I'm not in Disney or Disney Park, I'm usually in New Orleans. I just love that town, and there are so many things about that movie. It's absolutely a family film and all this stuff. Like, there's so many things about New Orleans that. Like little just Easter eggs. I was like, okay, yeah, you did your research. And it's really cool. And he's just fascinating. I just love that character.
Okay. And final one, the Seven Dwarfs. And there is a correct answer, of course, but
I know. Dopey.
Yes, that's Dopey. Correct.
Yeah.
You win. If you didn't choose Dopey, who would you choose?
Doc. I would choose Doc.
That was a trick question. It's still Dopey.
It's still Dopey for you. Got you. I understand this.
No, Doc is good.
Doc is good. I love Doc.
I love a dwarf with glasses.
Oh my God. My favorite, Seven Dwarfs, you know, when you get off that little ending of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, when you're rolling through, and you see them in the house, like it's just so joyful. And then the witch is there and it's terrifying.
It is.
Before that, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't written that.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went on the ride and you see the shadows of them going up. Disney magic for me.
Blown away. And when you go in the, when you go in that cave, it is, that's when I knew, okay, you guys are, something's happened with how you're designing these. Cause like, that was the first one that was like, this is different. This is, y'all are hitting on some stuff that is really special. It was so beautiful. Yeah.
Speaking of cast members, if Burr were to get a job at a Disney park, which job do you think he would have?
Oh, that is, I mean, he'd be coming for Josh tomorrow. Like that's, I mean, he literally, I mean, like yeah. he would want to run it. He'd want to run it.
Yeah.
He would start, he'd have to start, like he wouldn't be. I just don't see him in the park, like on a day-to-day basis. Do you know what I mean? See him. Yeah. He's somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as I like to say to my friends, there's a great big, beautiful tomorrow.
That's
Thank you, everyone.
I hope that you copyright that.
I know, Josh, if you're listening, call me. I really want a job. But nice. Okay, here's another question for Nick. You decide to retire from Broadway and you're going to get a job at the parks. Which job do you want?
Oof, my goodness. This is such a great question. You know, it's interesting. I would actually love to be I have a friend who was the stage manager of attractions at DCA. And that job is fascinating to me, just to be, because you just get this behind the scenes look at everything. You know how it works. I remember he took us to when the Guardians refurb was finished, he took us there for Mission Breakout. And he was, you know, and like I said, I'm a huge Marvel fan, I'm a huge comic book fan, but also just, you know, MCU. And he was showing us all the Easter eggs in the collector's cages. And it was just like, you just get access to all this amazing knowledge, and are just kind of, you know, have that coordination of, you know, how these attractions are working. It was just, that would be what I'd do. Yeah.
Phooey, we'll be right back. Oh, what's the big idea with these commercials? Oh, if this were my show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Nick, it is time. It's Fast Pass Answers. I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock after I ask the first question to have you answer as many of these as possible. Are you ready?
Oh, I think so. Let's try.
I don't want this to be like your first Indiana Jones. You have to go for it.
Oh, God. All right, let's go for it.
don't you start waving your hands. Okay. Nick Walker, name any Muppet.
Oh, Kermit, Miss Piggy.
Favorite Gonzo. Snack in the parks?
Turkey leg.
Name any ride in Fantasyland.
Oh my God! Why am I blanking? I was gonna say Pinocchio.
Yes, Pinocchio.
Yeah.
In Disneyland, name a country in Epcot.
Germany.
Favorite Disney princess.
Oh, Tiana.
Name a song from Hamilton.
Wait for it.
Time. Wow. I know, it's the pressure.
It was that Fantasyland. I was just thinking about this before the podcast, because Fantasyland, right, like, it's actually so tricky. It gets you because it's in the back. You see the castle, and you know, and there's Adventureland to your left, and there's Frontierland, and then there's the castle, and then there's Tomorrowland, but you're not thinking about like, oh, what's behind the castle? Do you mean like, for me, my mind doesn't go there automatically, but it's Fantasyland. That is absolutely. I could have also said PhilharMagic. Love that.
Yes, I do love PhilharMagic. They're just bringing Coco into it at Disneyland.
Yes, I saw that.
I love. Cannot wait.
Yes,
you did very well because you named multiple Muppets and multiple snacks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
is turkey leg your favorite?
You know, it was until I tried that Dole Whip, and I don't know if people. Dole Whip obviously, but with alcohol that you get at the Polynesian, that blew my mind. I don't even know why I didn't think of that, and I felt stupid afterwards. Like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is there. What other option is there?
put on your thinking ears. It's trivia time. Oh, boy.
Okay, trivia time. Part of the Disney Parks experience is walking from land to land, exploring some of the locations off the beaten path, and finding new spots to enjoy one's churros and turkey legs, or just to take a break. All of the parks have these hidden gems, and the Imagineers left no stone unturned, giving much attention to every detail. One of these cool details is New Orleans Square at Disneyland, where one can hear the sounds of landline telegraphy by the train station. It's broadcasting part of a very famous speech made by whom?
Oh, I'm gonna be honest. I have truly no idea.
Well, this is what's funny.
Yes.
You love New Orleans.
Yes.
But because I love this speech, I actually mentioned it already in this interview.
Oh, it's Walt?
It is.
Wow.
Yes.
I never knew.
It's saying to all who come to this happy place, welcome. I know.
This is great.
Next time you're there, when you go on that train, listen.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
In addition to the classic Disney catalog, the Walt Disney Company has grown their brand over the years to include Star Wars, The Muppets, and Marvel. All things I know that you love, Nick. These properties have found their way into the parks in the form of Star Tours and Galaxy's Edge, Avengers Campus, and Muppet Vision 3D. And now Disney Parks enthusiasts need to be well-versed in these different worlds and to understand the words of the creators, Walt Disney, George Lucas, Stan Lee, and Jim Henson. Keeping up with the theme of famous speeches and quotes, in this game, Walt, George, Stan, or Jim, I'm going to share a quote, and it's your task to tell me which of these four men said it. Are you ready?
Ooh, I'm about to embarrass myself, but yes, it's going to be great.
No, because here's the cool thing. As I was doing this research, and of course, it's the internet, so if these are wrong, forgive me, but they spoke very similarly at times.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. So the answer will either be Walt Disney, George Lucas, Stan Lee, or Jim Henson. Here's number one. If you are interested in what you do, that keeps you going.
Stan Lee.
You are correct. That is Stan Lee. Yes. You're killing it. Okay, number two. The way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing.
That sounds like a Walt Disney.
Nick, you are right. You are 2 for 2.
Yep.
You put away that quote dictionary I see of.
It's right behind me. It's right behind me.
Yeah, you're like, it's like on your wall, like live, laugh, love, but it's all.
Oh, yeah. It's all there. Just quotes.
Okay, number three. You're 2 for 2, but here comes number three. The most sophisticated people I know, inside, they are all children.
See, it's tricky because I have my impulse to say one, but I actually think it's going to be the other. I'm gonna go ahead and take a swing, George.
And what was your impulse,
Jim?
It was Jim. You should always follow your instinct.
Ah, damn. Okay.
I know.
There it is.
We're gonna give it to you because your impulse is right.
Oh, thank you! Yay!
Yay! Okay, number four for Walt, George, Stan, or Jim. You simply have to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. Put blinders on and plow right ahead.
Now that would be George.
That is George Lucas.
Yeah.
You are killing this game, Nick. You really love all these worlds. It's
very
ingrained.
Very much do.
Okay, number five. Storytelling is about two things. It's about character and plot.
Stan.
It's actually George Lucas.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
Okay.
But here comes number six. You know, I guess one person can make a difference.
Jim.
It's actually Stan Lee.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know what?
I really want one of these quotes to be like, Disneyland is your land. And
yep,
be like,
exactly.
George?
It's like, but yeah, but no. It's so beautiful because these are all, they're all just four just visionaries, you know, and that's for sure. That's amazing.
Yep. Okay, number seven. I think people have always loved things that are bigger than life, things that are imaginative.
Jim.
It's Stan Lee.
How? It's crashing.
I know.
We're right down the hill. We were going up. We were going up the mountain.
It's going really well.
And now we're going. But it's all right. It's fine. I'm so happy to learn these things.
I know. It's great. Okay. Yeah. Three more.
Okay.
For Walt, George, Stan, or Jim. It's like in a law firm.
Yep.
I would go to that law firm.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Okay. Life's like a movie. Write your own ending. Keep believing. Keep pretending.
Jim.
That is Jim Henson. Yes. Yep. We love it. Number nine. The more you like yourself, the less you are like anyone else, which makes you unique.
Stan.
Close. It's Walt.
Okay.
Uncle Walt.
Uncle Walt. There he is.
I did not expect Walt Disney to say that, but there you go.
No, yeah. There it is.
And finally, my hope still is to leave the world a bit better than when I got here.
Jim.
That is Jim Henson. Well done, Nick. You win a turkey leg, a trip to Walt Disney World.
So excited.
Very exciting. Good job.
Thank you.
Now let's hear from some of you. Huh?
Okay, Nick, we put it on the e-ticket Instagram page. Your fans are ready with Disney questions. Let's go. Emily asks, what is your first memory of visiting Disney?
Yeah, it's definitely that Grand Floridian stay and that Indiana Jones. But I also, you know what I do? I remember more than anything else is those fireworks. Wishes.
How old were you, you think, when you first went?
It had to be 8 or 9.
All right.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I called the fireworks popcorn in the sky.
Oh, it's adorable. You know what land is gone now, but was my everything, was the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids land. That place, I got to play on it one last time in my adult life, and it was worth every penny.
Colleen wants to know, what is your favorite Disney restaurant, and what is your go-to meal there?
Oh, Colleen. This is a tough one because there's so many, you know, there's new ones that have popped up. I will say it is in Disney Springs. I do have a place for Morimoto Asia, at Disney Springs, and they have the A5 Wagyu beef, which is like butter. I will also say though, if you're talking like proper Disney, like in the parks restaurants, I know this is going to sound a little basic, but I'm going to Satouli Canteen, and I'm going the Bao Bun cheeseburgers. They are so. I went with if you guys know another amazing Diz podcast show, the Diz. I went with a couple of those guys over there, and we got like 10 of them. And we just devour. It was like, because this is full circle. They taste like McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Oh, there it is.
And I was like, oh, I'm home. Nice. Nice.
An Instagram account named Ain't Too Proud wants to know, what is your dream role in any of the Disney universes?
Dr. Facilier. Absolutely. If you put me in a Star Wars movie or anything. You know, it's funny because people are always asking, like, you know, do you want to be in a Marvel film? And I'm like, no, I just enjoy watching them. Like, that's one where I'm like, I don't. Star Wars, I love, but there's enough distance where I'm like, I would happily be. But Marvel, I love watching them. I don't know if I'd want to. Maybe, I'll take any job, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Sam wants to know, what is your favorite attraction that isn't there anymore?
Mm-hmm. Yep. See,
I mean, it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
The Honey, Shrunk the Kids, it's definitely up there. It's also, I gotta say, when they took away, as crazy as it's gonna sound, Extraterrestrial Encounter.
Alien Encounter?
I thought it was Extraterrestrial. That's what I remember. But it might be Alien. I think it might be all three of those. Alien Encounter, Extraterrestrial. Who knows?
Oh yeah, you're right. Extraterrestrial Alien Encounter.
It's it was terrifying, but there was some, and you know, it was back when Michael Eisner was pushing for more, adult rides or, you know, whatever. But there was something when I finally did ride that ride, terrified, but there was something so amazing about like, oh, the just the big swing of like, we're going to lock you into these seats. And we're going to spray you with like alien saliva. And, you know, it's like, it's like a crazy haunted house. It was just so crazy to me.
Yeah. That's what you thought Haunted Mansion was.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like, that's why I'm not going back in.
They're like, they're going to spray you. You are locked in.
You cannot get out. You cannot get out. But no. Yeah.
Your wife was like, they were dancing in a ballroom.
She laughed at me. So hard, but she became obsessed. That and Pirates are her two favorite rides.
Oh, classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Courtney wants to know, what's been your most memorable moment at a character meet and greet?
I have pictures from Crystal Palace. The first time that me and Sarah went with our friends, we do like one with friends, one by ourselves. That's like kind of our back and forth. And the first time we went with friends was with my now manager, Stevie, and my best friend Alex. We went, and Sarah had got these really adorable pictures with Tigger that are just some of my favorite pictures of her, and just the joy on her face. And she got her little book signed by Tigger and Eeyore and Pooh and Piglet, and it was just the joy on her face. And it was great.
Finally, Tara asks, what do you have on your must-do Disney bucket list?
I will say I'm very fortunate in that a lot of the things that I'm like, I've dreamed about doing, I've done. Like, and I don't, that's not a flex. I'm very thankful. Club 33 was like a huge one. That was like, I have to, and I've done it. I've done it multiple. Like
I mean, like on my bucket list is to become a member.
Yes, absolutely. It's to become a member. That 100% is to become a member.
So again, if anyone listening that has membership opportunities for Nick and I, let us know.
Let us know, because we'll be there.
Please.
Absolutely. You know what I would love to do? That James did, Iglehart, stay in the castle. He did that. He stayed in that room, and I hate him for it. And James, if you're listening, you are a terrible person. No, I'm kidding. But I know I want to stay in that room. I do want to stay in that room. I also, I mean, this is not really a bucket list, because I think it's actually easily, not easily done, but could be done very soon, is go to Aulani. I really want to try those properties. And then I will say, I definitely, again, not bucket list, because there's no way they're going to stop me from doing this, but I have to do the Galactic Star Cruiser. I have to. I have to be there. I will not, like, because again, they don't let you leave for 2 days. And everybody's like, wait, you can't, you're not supposed to leave for the, I'm like, that sounds fine to me. I will just, you just lock me in. And I'll be there, whatever you need. So excited.
It's time for some tough choices. Let's play Tweedledee or Tweedledum.
It is time for Tweedledee or Tweedledum. I will give you two options. Let me know which one you prefer. I'm going to warn you, these are challenging.
Okay.
And if you cannot choose, it's okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Pirates of the Caribbean or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train?
Pirates. Yeah.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Circle of Life or Be Our Guest?
Be Our Guest.
Okay.
I know.
No, we take this so seriously. I love it.
Yes.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, Star Tours or Muppet Vision 3D?
That just hurt me.
I know.
Oh.
I shouldn't laugh.
It's Muppet Vision.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tweedledee or Tweedledum, The Incredicoaster or Expedition Everest?
The Incredicoaster. And can I say, no. The Incredicoaster. And can I say why?
You know, the cookie smell.
The cookie smell. Also what it looks like lit up at night, because it's just stunning. And I know that we aren't supposed to mention other parks, but I will say, and I say this as a challenge to Disney, not as like a put down. I was all about Expedition Everest until I saw that ride footage of Hagrid's, where they don't even have to switch the track, where you just go backwards. And I was like, okay, now this is looking a little, because there's like that, you know, we all know it's like the 20-second wait when you get to that thing, and then they switch the track, and then you go back. It's like, oh, okay, that's a little, you know, let's see if we can add some magic. So for now, Incredicoaster, and also that loop on Incredicoaster is beautiful. Yeah.
And the cookies. I get it every time after I land.
Oh, you have to.
You get it? Yep. Yeah. It's a bold choice each time. I'm like, I'm really doing this.
If Jack does it, then I do it as well.
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of like Jack, when it's lit up at night and you see the Jacks, that's great. Yeah. Okay. Final Tweedledee or Tweedledum. This one's big. And you may not have experienced one of these yet, but here we go. Galaxy's Edge or Avengers Campus?
Oh, you got me right in the feels. I will say though, it's got to be Galaxy's Edge, and I'll tell you why. I think Avengers Campus, I mean, I'm so excited to see it, and I know I'm gonna love it, but there are things Galaxy's Edge allows you to do. Flying the Millennium Falcon, that's worth the price just to see that ship, right? Because I think that's the thing that Galaxy's Edge has going for it, right, is that there are truly, even, you know, set on Batu, which is a world we've never been to, there are so many things, there are like tangible things, the Millennium Falcon, the lightsabers, the droids, the X-Wing, all these things, which like I never thought I'd see, and you have just built them. Avengers Campus it looks stunning, and that Spider-Man animatronic looks, I mean, I hope there's some sort of award that they're going to get, because there has to be.
Yeah, it's actually Spider-Man. It's not an audio animatronic.
It's actually, yes, it is. That's true.
Yeah, it's Spider-Man. Actually Spider-Man.
They just got Spider-Man, and the fact that they just pay Spider-Man to do that every day is spectacular.
I know.
It's really cool. You know, it's really cool. But no, I think that there are so many things that as a kid, I wanted to see, and touch, and feel, and Galaxy's Edge allows me to do that. So it's just a slight edge, but yeah.
Nick, if you could grab a drink with any Disney character, who would you choose?
Goofy. Because it would just be fun. It'd just be fun. He's all, you know, spilling his drink all over the place and being a little sin. You're just like, oh, it's all right, man. Like, I, every time I see him, especially since a Goofy movie, I just want to be like, it's all right. Like, you're good. You just be you. You're enough. That's it.
Yes. Nick, when you look down Main Street and you see that castle, what is the first thing you think of?
I think of Tom Sawyer's Island. I think of Tom Sawyer's Island. Tom Sawyer, and this was so Tom Sawyer, when I was a kid, the first book I ever read was The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And then Disney came out with the movie Tom and Huck, starring Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Brad Renfro, in 95, I believe.
Oh, yes. I remember.
Oh, yes. And I was obsessed and upset. Like, it's one, I mean, I'm sure if I watched that movie now, I'd be like, this is questionable, but like at the time I loved it. And so when I went and they had Tom Sawyer's Island, it made my and the cave, I was obsessed with those caves, to the point that when I was on tour, I went to we were in Kansas City, Missouri, and I convinced my buddies Kyle and Fergie, Kyle Scatliff, Fergie Philippe, to go with me on a day trip to Hannibal, Missouri, where Mark Twain is from. And if you know anything about Mark Twain, the town Hannibal is pretty much street for street St. Petersburg, where Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn are based. Like, it's street for street. And that cave actually exists, and you can go in that cave. And it was like full circle, one of the best moments of my life.
And Nick, what's the first thing you're going to do the next time you go to a Disney park?
Cry. I'll cry. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going, cause I'm doing, the Give Kids the World Gala in Orlando. And that's in September. And I'm so excited to be with that amazing organization, but I'm so excited to get back to those parks. I'm just so excited. Yeah.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining E-Ticket to Broadway and sharing your love of Walt Disney World and Turkey Legs, Princess and the Frog, Star Wars, Marvel, just your love of Disney. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. And thank you for doing this. It's so nice to have a space to just talk about our love of these parks. So thank you.
Of course. And we'll see you at the parks.
See you there.
I think I should have been interviewed on this episode.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.